You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Goodison Park.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Royal Blue Podcast. I'm Phil Kirkbride, and today I'm joined by Dave Prentice and Gav Buckland as Cue the Fat. Overall, the major talking points at Goodison Park, of course, we are mainly here to reflect on a disappointing evening at Stamford Bridge. The Blues, of course, going down 2-0. Many strands of discussion to come from that, but of course, unfortunately, the biggest discussion point over the weekend and remaining today is the fitness of Abdoulaye Doucouré. Carlo Ancelotti providing an update of sorts after the game, not yet confirming the extent. Obviously, I'm sure everybody was aware of the rumours that it could be the season is up for him, but at this point, the club say they do not know yet, only saying he'll be out until after the international break. So let's see, but we'll discuss the permutations and how we cope with or without Doucouré as we go through the pod. But Preno, Carlo said no tragedy after last night's defeat, and it doesn't impact on our European aspirations. But nevertheless, a disappointing evening. It's a defeat at Chelsea, another defeat at Chelsea. And just before we started recording, I was sort of saying to Gav, once that first goal went in, it just felt inevitable, didn't it, unfortunately?
Yeah, I mean, that's typical Carlo, isn't it? Who was, ever the poor oil on troubled waters, never a man to overreact, positively or negatively. I thought it was a decent enough performance in the circumstances. I think to get anything from the game, we needed to be absolutely defensively immaculate. And unfortunately, we weren't. We made one slight error in the, Mason Holgate and Alex Iwobi were caught out of position. That led to the first goal, which even then was unfortunate with the deflection. And then we had Jordan Pickford, who made an absolutely, series of really good saves, had a great game, apart from mistiming by a fraction coming off his line and conceding a penalty. So that defensively immaculate, we weren't. And for me, the turning point was the Richarlison miss. I think if we were going to actually take advantage of anything from last night, we needed to be maybe as clinical and as ruthless, in the final third as we needed to be immaculate in defence. And that was an opportunity, so for the form that Richarlison's in, that was a really great chance to, sort of pull us back on terms. Then who knows? But overall, you look at the gulf in class between the squad that Chelsea were able to put out and the squad that we were able to put out. And you can understand that, why the game went the way it did and why we shouldn't be overly surprised. And certainly when you look at the players that we had to name on the bench and the absence of really influential people like, Doucouré and James Rodriguez, frustrating, but let's put it into perspective a little bit as well, because it wasn't that bad a performance against a team that is absolutely flying at the moment.
Gav, Carlo said many times, we've seen it with our own eyes, this team generally is comfortable defending deep. Carlo, you actually echoed something Carlo said, where he basically said for half an hour it was going to plan. As you said to me prior to recording, I said, "Oh, look, we'll only record around half an hour today. We'll only do about half an hour." And you said, "A bit like our midfield last night." Yeah. But that's kind of what it was for me. It felt like, okay, everything was going to plan relatively half an hour. But once Chelsea scored, it just felt very, very difficult.
Yeah. It was quite an easy game to read, wasn't it, really? I suppose in the great scheme of things, our absences forced us into a style of play that we're comfortable with. Lack of balance in midfield. Doucouré gives us that sort of box-to-box sort of energy that was missing last night. Consequently, our strikers were isolated. Defensively, playing Alex, it's one thing playing him wide right, I suppose, against Fulham, isn't it? Another thing against Chelsea. And I think teams do see our right-hand side as a weak area. And last, you'd be disappointed that you worked hard for half an hour, only Chelsea limited, I think, one chance. And then it was just a two headers, wasn't it, by both Holgate and Iwobi. You know, effectively, I suppose, cost us any chance of getting anything, because from 1-0 down, it was going to take a bit, you know, something special to get us back on track. And then Chelsea would always have it in their locker to come back again. And I think Pickford for the penalty, I thought it was poor mark, and I think by Godfrey, wasn't it? I thought initially. What got brought down? Havertz got brought down, was it? I can't. He was just allowed, wasn't he, to stand between the two centre halves, was picked out by the pass. I wouldn't blame Pickford for that. He's got to come for it, hasn't he? No, he's just a second out, wasn't he? You know, if he doesn't come for it, you'd be asking questions. So I wouldn't blame him for that. And that was the one positive, I suppose. You know, that hackneyed old phrase about taking positives. The one thing I would say, Pickford, apart from the penalty, which you wouldn't really give him much stick about, I thought he was excellent again. Made, you know, two or three top saves. And his form over the last month has been, or 3 weeks, whatever, has been really encouraging, hasn't it? So that was a good thing from last night. But don't think, I mean, we got caught at the end, didn't we? When we pushed up a little bit, we brought Davis and King on. We were a bit stats at the back end. We were probably looking in the end just to finish 2-0. It could have easily been a repeat of last March. But I still think we're in the top four, Mick, but that was always going to be a big indicator last night, a big test, wasn't it? Litmus test of our top four capability. And what it's shown is that you're going to need to have a big squad, aren't you? And I think the teams with big squads will really show the strength in the last couple of months of the season.
Well, that's a good point, isn't it, Prenno? You know, Chelsea just casually dropping £200 million last summer to bolster an already, you know, multi-million-pound squad. You know, looking at, I did a piece right on the whistle saying, you know, look, Everton have shown you don't need to spend a king's ransom to get good players. And Carlo has repeated recently that he doesn't expect the need to spend a big amount this summer, but money can build squads, and it's a reminder of why Carlo's going to need a couple more summers to actually build the strength in depth that's going to make us more competitive consistently in those sorts of games.
100%, yeah. I mean, you look at the players who were in action for Chelsea last night, they cost an absolute fortune that haven't actually, you know, sort of sparkled for them. You know, it's not an exact science. If you spend a huge amount of money, you will get a huge amount of difference in your squad. It's got to be spent quite cleverly and quite imaginatively as well. And Carlo's already proved that he's capable of doing that. I mean, the players that he's brought in for, and admittedly, they are big sums of money, but they're not in, you know, sort of modern parlance. You know, you look at the likes of Alan and, you know, James, who came on a free effectively. I know his wages are big, and Doucouré. You know, the chunky chunky size transfer fees, without being, you know, the Timo Werner, Kai Havertz kind of, you know, sort of transfer fees. So I think we can trust Carlo, you know, sort of to improve the squad consistently going forward. But absolutely right what you say. He's had one go at doing it so far, and that was last summer. Obviously, January is not a time, you know, so when any football club was thinking of spending money this time round because of the, you know, very obvious differences in the world at the moment. So, you know, hopefully this summer you can do the same again, because clearly there are massive, you know, gulfs in quality and in depth. You know, once again, we had two goalkeepers on the substitutes bench and a number of youngsters as well, because, you know, so that the squad isn't strong enough or deep enough to do otherwise. So it's still quite early days. I know football fans hate hearing about patience. Everton fans have been patient for 26 years, you know, without winning anything, and they're sick of being patient. But the right people are in place here, you know, so Carlo Ancelotti is the right manager, and we just need to give him time to effect the change. And he seems like comfortable enough with that as well. He's a manager who's not getting carried away, who's not getting agitated. What was your verdict last night, Phil, where, you know, no tragedy, absolutely spot on. You know, it isn't a tragedy, it was this disappointment, but, you know, it becomes a tragedy if we don't beat Burnley on Saturday night. But, you know, so we worry about that going forward.
Yeah. Adam Jones was down there, wasn't he? And he did a really good piece about the comparison and the parallels between 12 months ago to the day when we were steamrolled 4-0 and the defeat last night. But Gav, again, just before we start recording, and if you're happy to, I think it's an interesting point. We've got a piece later this afternoon coming up about James Rodriguez, and we've got a slightly different take ultimately on the same issue, and ultimately we want the same outcome. But you know, James missing again last night. What's your feeling on that situation?
Yeah, which I expressed in one of my WhatsApp groups last night after the game. And it's not a really surprise. I asked the question, James Rodriguez, is he worth it? This was the question I asked. And the responses I got was, well, he provides us moments of quality, which is absolutely right. And, you know, we could, you know, you mentioned two or three, you know, this year, Old Trafford, Anfield. But we talk about squad building there, and that needs money. And the question I've still got is, are those occasional moments of quality justified by the pay packet that he's getting, which is, you know, which is, well, I think it's been well known, hasn't it? And at the moment, I would say no. Which is not really a surprise, because that was always the risk that we set at the start of the season when we bought him. That, you know, considering you mentioned how many games he played last year, 14, I think something like that. And I think he's only played 8 of our last 16 Premier League games. I think he's only finished 90 minutes once. And I just asked that question, and I don't think we are at the moment. And for us to you know, get into it, we need to, that needs to change, doesn't it? You know, between now and the end of the season. And I, as you said quite rightly, it's not, I mean, I made the point that he has played in big games, played against, at Old Trafford and Anfield. I don't think he finished 90 minutes in either of those games. But the likes of Burnley on Saturday, you do need them, don't you? Palace, maybe. So I think I'm a bit underwhelmed by James at the moment, to be fair, after the daily season flurry. That's not to say he's not a quality player, but he needs to, needs to show more, doesn't it? He needs to get more out of him. And I just think it's just, you know, and that's really my view at the moment about him. Not to speak his quality.
Well, no, absolutely. And the piece that we've got going up this afternoon, I've written, is similar vein in terms of, he's actually missed maybe more games than you realise, and actually he hasn't been able to build any momentum, Preno. I think in terms of consecutive league starts, he's only managed, his best run has been 6 before there's been an injury or something. And it feels like I was trying to perhaps look at it in a different way and saying, well, look, if Everton can get him fit for the final 11 league games and keep him fit, imagine what he can do. He's already made such an impact, but it's been hugely interrupted by spells on the sidelines and things like that. What's your feeling on what we've just said there about James?
It's frustrating because he has made such a huge impact when he has been available. And personally, I think that impact has been so significant that he is, you know, a case worth indulging. You know, he's not in the Fabian Delph, you know, sort of camp, if you like, where he's, you know, very rarely available. Like, he's only available 50% of the games. James seems to be, you know, more than that. And when he is available, he does make a huge difference. So it's frustrating, but, you know, I think Carlo brought him in with that in mind, you know, knowledge that, you know, he's not played, you know, sort of football consistently for, you know, some time. I don't, is he 29 now, is he? You know, he's of an age where, you know, injuries might be, you know, sort of picked up a little bit more frequently than they would have been earlier in his career. But he's absolute top quality. And, you know, could Everton afford a player of that quality who's going to be available, you know, so 38 matches of a season? Probably not, because, you know, those kind of players are going to cost you, you know, so 60s and 70 millions worth of pounds. So I'm not saying that James is like a cup price version of that. He isn't. He's an absolute quality player, but at the, you know, so wrong end of his career rather than at the outset. So, you know, we have to just indulge him, I think, you know, so if and when he's available, use him. And just accept that that's not going to be the case on a weekly basis, which is frustrating. But as I say, the alternative to that is to spend an absolute fortune on somebody that has that quality that will be available week in, week out.
The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hopefully Everton medical team can find a solution to what ails him at the moment and keep him on the pitch as long as possible. And on that similar vein, Gav, Abdoulaye Doucouré, Carlo Ancelotti saying his injury, which has been unspecified, obviously it's believed to be a foot injury. The fear it is a fracture, but we don't know, is an important injury, and he will miss some games, at least until after the international break. So, basing on the fact that he'll be out for a minimum two games, you know, worst case scenario, the rest of the season, how do we cope in whatever length of absence we have to cope with Doucouré?
We don't, do we? I think he's only missed this season, the Premier League, when he was suspended, Phil. He's only missed one game,
Last night, because of injury, and Leicester at home because he was suspended.
Yeah. I've never heard an injury, but I have, I suppose, but not in the context of it's an important injury. I didn't really know what to make of that. Important as his absence is important, or important that actually it's a bad one, you know, or both. I suppose. So it's not going to be two games, is it? I would imagine. Yeah, major blow. And I heard the room yesterday afternoon and pulled a bit of a face, which is not hard for me, really, let's face it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's when it comes to Everton, and he's the one player. Yeah. By him, you know, you can't afford to miss him. You see what he brings to the team, and especially he's been excellent, hasn't he, since maybe Christmas. He was a bit hot and cold before Christmas, but since Christmas, he's been there or thereabouts, our best player. Brings mobility, brings, you know, a sense of energy that nobody else does to the midfield. And if he's absent, we tend to look up, we're just flat, aren't we? And our options of getting the ball forward quickly and getting supporters' strikers are limited, which you saw last night. It was a major blow, to be honest with you, in the context of other players being injured, as you've just spoken about. As well, I just, you know, I think it's a really bad blow for the player and for Everton if it's an extended one, as may be hinted at by Carlo. But more can I say? You saw that last night, didn't you? I'm not saying he would have made a massive difference last night, but he would have made a difference.
Preno, Carlo was asked, you know, so how do the team cope if Doucouré is to be missing for an extended spell, and he was fairly bullish, you know, and saying, well, look, we lost Lucas Digne for 2 months and we coped. We lost Alan for 2 months and we coped. And while I definitely subscribe to that theory to an extent, as Gav sort of alluded to, Doucouré really is the only box-to-box midfielder we've got. Gomez should be, but he's inconsistent. Davis has proven himself more in the Alan role. Alan's back, great. But it does feel a little bit as though this is a different proposition, losing Doucouré.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to mean a change in emphasis, a change in tactical setup, if you like. It's an area of the pitch where, you know, normally if you take a player out of that area, it's damaging because he has been so, so consistent this season. But, you know, is it like a difference maker? Like, for argument's sake, you take a striker out of the equation, a Calvert-Lewin or a Richarlison. Or you take, you know, a goalkeeper out. To me, that they are difference makers. You know, so the players that you really acutely miss when they're not available. We'll miss Doucouré hugely because he is like such a good player. But it's an area of the pitch where you can maybe cover by using a slightly different, you know, sort of approach. Now, yeah, opportunity for Tom Davis to try and continue to show, you know, the form that he showed, you know, so prior to his recent little injury problem. And, you know, so getting that chance to prove he can do in a different way, albeit, you know, so what Doucouré's been doing. Gomez, I thought he was okay last night. Gomez, you know, it was one of his better games. You know, until he was substituted. So maybe Carlo didn't agree with me. but again, he's a different type of player, though. So yeah, I think it's going to necessitate a change of outlook, a change of how we actually approach games, because he does cover so many boxes, Doucouré. You know, he's all over the pitch. You know, so he's an influence defensively. He's an influence breaking forward and providing, you know, so extra bodies on the counter. And nobody's quite got that energy level to reproduce that. We haven't got that, you know, so similar type of player in the squad. It's a blow, you know, undoubtedly. But, you know, I trust Carl has come up with some kind of a tactical plan to overcome that and maybe do it in a slightly different way.
No, what I was going to say is the one Brenner was talking there, you could play 4-2-3-1, couldn't you, with Davis and Alan Holden, and then play Richarlison, Sigurdsson, Iwobi, or play that he's fit, James, with Calvert-Lewin up top. That would be one way of rectifying it.
I was going to say, it does feel like a nice way of getting the best out of Tom and Alan and offering that back four as much protection as possible by playing those two as the sit-in, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'm not sure how many times Carlo's played that, that would seem to be the natural move for us, to be honest with you. But then it goes back to what the discussion on Friday, doesn't it? That you then don't get probably the best out of Richarlison. But you get the best out of Calvert-Lewin, you know? Yeah. So in many respects, you're solving one problem but creating then another. It's a difficult one, isn't it? But even so, whatever formation, I think based on what we're saying, whatever formation we're playing, we're going to miss Doucouré. You know, he's one of them. Out of the players you want to see in the team, he's in the top two or three, isn't he? Based on what you've seen this season.
Yeah, absolutely. And he would have been an ever-present in the league had it not been for the suspension and obviously the injury that has looked like keeping him out for a little while. Preno, again, as we mentioned at the top of the pod, we were talking about the fallout from the game and Carlos said no tragedy, and he was very keen to stress that it doesn't affect our European ambitions and this sort of game was never going to decide it. But looking at the fixture list, I mean, you could say any one of the next 11 is the most important. But I scanned the fixture list again last night and I'm looking at West Ham away and thinking, my word, that's got real significance attached to it now.
It has got real significance if we can bounce back from this and get the result that we need on Saturday night against Burnley. You know, that suddenly becomes a really important fixture, because Burnley, as they proved against Arsenal last weekend, you know, and against numerous teams this season, are capable of blunting most teams and, you know, proving difficult opponents and, you know, grinding out a result. And we've had so many of those frustrating, you know, 1-0 defeats at Goodison, 2-0 defeats at Goodison against teams that we should and we expect to beat. I mean, was it Carlo's first game in charge? Was against Burnley, a night match, yeah, you know, which we won 2-0. And so, you know, it's opponents that he's comfortable with, he's played against several times, he knows exactly what kind of threat they bring. But it needs a slightly different approach from us this time. You know, where we've proved masters are countering on teams and, you know, sort of defending deep and pinching games, we need to be, you know, more on the front foot in this game and actually, you know, creating opportunities from the word go and, you know, so being more ambitious, if you like, in order to win that. If we do, then yeah, that West Ham game looks like it's going to be an absolute humdinger. I mean, it's weird, actually. I'm sort of like half pleased for David Moyes in what he's done there, because, you know, I thought he was harshly treated by West Ham initially and, you know, certainly at Manchester United. And, you know, his reputation has been absolutely hammered over the last 7 years, really, since he left Everton. What was the famous quote he said? Sometimes the grass isn't greener, when he was talking about players leaving Everton. I think that was Steven Pienaar. Proved it himself. You know, the grass sometimes isn't greener. But he is a good coach. He was very good for Everton, you know, for a long period of time. And I'm pleased that, you know, he's finally been given the opportunity to prove that, you know, he is a capable coach. You know, he's capable of, you know, getting teams up into the upper echelons of the Premier League. West Ham are decent to watch. You know, saw the game last night and, you know, they're very easy on the eye. And they're getting results. You know, they're getting the real level of consistency. Jesse Lingard looks like an inspired signing as well. So, you know, he's done a lot of things really, really well. and it would be a great, you know, meeting of minds, that, wouldn't it? You know, so Moyes versus Ancelotti, you know, so the Everton, you know, so old guard punching above the weight against, you know, so the tactical genius who's, you know, got absolutely much higher ambitions for Everton Football Club. So it would be a great fixture, provided we can get to it, having won the games that we should be winning in the meantime. So, yeah, I don't want to get too carried away because, you know, Burnley, first of all, the other team in claret and blue, that's a huge game this weekend. And we desperately need to get a result from that one. Just forget all about the Chelsea game and, you know, sort of plan forward with a little bit of optimism and a little bit of momentum.
Yeah, absolutely, Gavin. And just sort of looking back to that Burnley game on Boxing Day, Carlos first in 2019. Back in the day, he played two right backs in the same 11, Coleman and Sidibe. But people might laugh at that as, oh God, Sidibe and Coleman in the same team. But you look at games like last night and you think, well, you probably wouldn't have asked Alex Iwobi to do a man marking job if they had that depth in that position. And you can understand fully, yeah, not that we didn't have any doubts, you can understand fully why the club are going to try and find a right back in the summer.
Yeah, right back. Well, just the right hand side, isn't it, really, I suppose. Which I don't think we've really rectified, because we've spoken, haven't we, about needing a right hand side player with pace up top, which I know the club have looked at. I still think we're missing that. And yeah, you can see, I wouldn't have seen brief highlights last night, but all their chances came from that sort of pocket on the left hand side, didn't they? I think the one where Alonso was a shot, and that came from a ball up towards Holgate's area, I think. Penalty came from the right-hand side, and it's obviously that's an area that clubs have sort of looked at, you know, getting at us for a while, not even just this season. We definitely need to that area. I would say that may be even our priority going forward, because we're putting players there, aren't we? We might be better playing Holgate there and Iwobi there or whatever, probably better used elsewhere on occasion. So yeah, it's definitely the priority area for me, isn't it, really? And I know that from what you hear, that's an area that they're looking at replenishing, quite rightly so.
Well, indeed, it's almost like the conversation comes back full circle, doesn't it? Because we look at Chelsea last night and Tuchel made five changes from the side that seemed to comfortably beat Liverpool at Anfield, and they didn't look any weaker, did they? You know, they still look a hell of a proposition. And I don't know if you agree, I know, but I think other than City, that's the best team we face this season.
Yeah, I would agree. Certainly, you know, so under the new management regime there, yeah, I mean, given the quality of the players that they've got in place there, they should be, you know, sort of getting the results that they're getting at the moment. But yeah, they're just not such a quality football team. But the thing that really struck me, you know, sort of last night, was just the intensity and the levels of work rate in all areas of the pitch. And I know it sounds like a given that, but, you know, it isn't often. And, you know, so Manchester City, much of their success is down to the fact that they have absolutely top class, top quality players all working relentlessly in this, you know, so huge, high pressing, you know, sort of style. And, you know, so Chelsea last night, you know, we were incapable of building anything really, you know, so as a result of the relentless nature of their work rate. And you just got to have very, very good players with very, very good mindsets and attitude to do that. And we've got better players in the squad at the moment than we had, you know, when we went there last year and got absolutely turned over 4-0. But, you know, so there's other things that need to change as well. But yeah, they're a very, very good side. The top four, you know, shootouts is going to be really, really interesting. I mean, you'd imagine Manchester City and Chelsea, you know, if not nailed on, are going to be there or thereabouts. Manchester United clearly as well, you know, so massive, you know, so boost from the result that they got at the weekend there. But then the fourth place is like such a grey area. There's so many teams like there or thereabouts. Normally you'd say, well, Liverpool, you know, Liverpool all day long, but they've just fallen off a cliff there for them at the moment. And, I think somebody calculated the other day that the average points total for a team finishing in the top four is like 72, 73 points. And for Liverpool to get that now, they need to win every single game between now and the end of the season. Are they going to do that? You know, it's looking unlikely, isn't it? So that means that, you know, there is then an opening there for, you know, so other teams and other, you know, possibilities. Everton being one of those teams, provided that we can, you know, show the requisite, you know, so consistency. I'm not so sure we can, especially with the other players that we'll have missing between now and the end of the season. And I still think I'm along, you know, with Carlo's way of thinking, in the top six Europa League is a really realistic, feasible target. We don't really want to be in the third tier conference Europa League. It'd be quite entertaining if Liverpool were in that and Emerson were in the Europa League proper, wouldn't it? But, you know, so we'll see what that means going forward. But yeah, that top four, that final place in the top four, you know, is definitely, what's the phrase, up for grabs. I don't know, it's there if Emerson can show the level of consistency we hope they can.
We're in there, definitely. But we've got to win these games coming up. Also, quite fancy for Spurs at the moment, who've got Bale playing really well on a bit of a roll, and I think they're definitely in the hunt. But so are we. But we've got to win these games coming up, haven't we?
Absolutely. Very good, chaps. We will bring it to a close there. Thank you very much for your company as always, and thank you very much for listening. We'll be back on Friday to preview that game with Burnley, of course, and reflect on Carlo Ancelotti's press conference, where hopefully he gives us a bit more of a precise update on Doucouré and how long we expect it to be without him. Well, thanks very much for listening. This has been the Royal Blue Podcast.
You've been listening to the Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.